How has life been for you since the sale of your agency?
It's been fantastic. Kids were out of the house in college. College is paid for. We moved closer to one of our sets of parents, closer to one of our kids at college, a real different climate.
Yeah, I think 2021 was a record-breaking acquisition year again, was it not?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, 21, late 21 at least, has been a catch-up time. You know, there was a ton of deals done.
And so 2022, what are you looking at right now?
Well, there's still a ton of money out there, you know, especially on the private equity side. I'm still seeing anywhere between 9 and 12 times EBITDA.
Welcome to the Insurance Stream Podcast. I'm your host, Abe Bowling. I'm going to be talking to John Jamison with Agile Cap today. John works on the acquisition side for sellers who are looking to sell their insurance agencies. John is a former agency owner. He sold his agency years ago, so that was an interesting conversation to have some of the parallels between his experience and my experience. And you know, I think that that's kind of a cool thing for sellers that are looking to sell their agency owners who are looking to sell, is to be able to, you know, talk to somebody who's been there, done that, walked the whole path. And he, I'm sure, provides excellent advice for folks that are looking to sell their insurance agency and look at all the options that are out there. So we will talk to him today about the process of selling your insurance agency through Agile Cap. We will talk to him about where the market is at, what he's seeing, the multiples he's seeing, and then just different options for selling your insurance agency through Agile Cap. And we'll be back right after this. Hey, everybody. Abe Bowling here from the Insurance Dream Podcast. Excited to remind you that Insurance Professionals is giving away a stay at Yosemite RV Resort in a yurt 4th of July weekend to one hardworking agent for policies written during the month of April. Insurance Professionals was founded by former agency owners, so they know how to make life easy on agents who work with them. Between the access to nationally known carriers, their free multi-rater, the libraries of on-demand and live trainings available, and the wealth of information they provide agents on their proprietary dashboards, adding Insurance Professionals to your list of market access providers is an easy business decision. They charge no upfront fees, no monthly fees, and you own your book of business with them 100% from day one. Getting started with Insurance Professionals is easy. Just go to becomeaninsurancepro.com to get started. The winner of the 4th of July Yosemite Getaway Giveaway will appear on an episode of the Insurance Dream Podcast, giving you exposure to our nationwide audience. That website to get started again is becomeaninsurancepro.com. All right, I'm here with John Jamison. He is with Agile Cap. He is one of the acquisition advisors, the lead acquisition advisor over at Agile Cap. John has a whole bunch of experience in the insurance industry, worked as a producer, marketing rep, agency owner, 28 years in the business. Now he is doing the advising on for buyers and sellers. But John, thank you so much, first of all, for joining me today. I really appreciate your time. And I want to jump in and start with, let's talk to the agency owner that maybe they're looking to sell right now. Maybe their end game is in 3 years or 5 years. What is the best way for agency owners to prep their book of business for sale to make sure they're maximizing what they can get when they do go to sell?
Yeah, great question, Abe. Thanks for having me on. I have sold an agency. I sold my agency after 20 some odd years of building it up, both organically and through acquisition. So I could speak to that. And also we work with sellers as well. So you know, there's a couple of different philosophies around it. Right now, you know, you're seeing a lot of guys just throwing everything they have into growth because, you know, they're just going for that top line price. And they're acquiring when they can. They're getting very aggressive at sales. They're hiring producers. That's one way to go at it, you know, just to look as attractive and have your growth curve as steep as possible, because, you know, that's what a lot of these private equity buyers are looking for. They're looking for aggressive agencies that are going to continue to perpetuate that curve after the purchase. And that's just going to add to the private equity's investment value. So the other side is you know, keeping, and it's a little bit, you know, closer to what I did, more of a traditional sale, you know, I was looking at my bottom line. I was looking at my expenses. I was looking at keeping my staff as lean as possible. I was looking at maximizing my contingencies during that time, cutting out expenses. I took my car off the agency roll and registered it to myself and took a stipend instead of just putting all the expenses through the agency. So take one or the other, you know, don't try to shoot through the middle. You know, I took the more conservative route. I was in an area of country where there wasn't a lot of growth to be had. So, you know, we were trading, my competitors and I were trading accounts back and forth. It wasn't like being in Austin or Salt Lake or Boise or places that are just busting at the seams where it's really easy to grab growth or easier to grab growth. Nothing's really easy. Sure. So, yeah. So that's kind of my view on it.
So we've got a couple of different options then for folks that are looking, because the EBITDA, you know, the earnings before interest, tax, you know, that's where the growth multiple or where the multiple pay for the payout is going to come into play. And so, you know, trimming down those expenses. So if you can trim down expenses and experience that growth, you're really mm-hmm. putting yourself in a position to be successful in your acquisition. From your experience, what are most of your agency owners doing as far as the transition? Are they staying on? Are they cashing out and walking away? How does that picture look when it comes to, and what did you do?
Well, great question. I did a little bit of, I split the middle. The guys that bought me really wanted me to stay on. They wanted me to head up their regional operation because they were buying agencies where the principals were quite a bit older. I sold it at 52 and, you know, I was decades younger than most of the other principals that were selling to these guys in the region. So they had a big plan for me to come in and you know, do a 3-year workout within my agency and then assume taking on 75 to 100 person staff and do a lot of traveling around the region. I decided that wasn't what I sold for. I sold for kind of backing away from that management role. So I left actually before even my workout was through. I kind of saw the writing on the wall and decided to bag out. It really depends on the size of the agency. We're seeing most principals are staying on for a little while. The smaller the agency, the older the guy, you know, obviously the less guy or woman, the longer they're staying, the less they're staying on, the older they are and the smaller the agency. A lot of buyers are looking for consolidation. We're seeing with the kind of post-COVID era of having branch offices being less popular and less necessary, that the offices are closing, staff are going remote or getting let go, and those locations are being consolidated. So it's definitely a trend that I'm seeing that's changed since COVID hit.
Yeah. And so with your deal specifically, they had you stay on. What type of responsibilities did you have in the, I guess, I don't want to call it the new agency, right? But kind of the new agency that was, you know, that came to existence as a result of the acquisition. How did your day shift from the day before the official sale date to the day after?
Well, I sold in 2019, so I only had about a year of kind of normal activity until COVID hit. So, you know, it was kind of the COVID-like transition. You know, all my employees, we were up in the Northeast, so, you know, where the populace took COVID a lot more seriously than other parts of the country. So if everything shut down, everybody went home, everybody went remote. And, you know, I spent a lot of my time figuring that out. But prior to that, it was a lot of my little nitty gritty management duties were taken off my shoulders. So I was expected to recruit. I was expected to prospect. And that was great. I mean, that's, you know, I would much rather be out of the office on the street, as most agency owners would be. You know, I'm a people person. I'm an extrovert. I like to sell. So that was good. Now that was a good transition. I just talked to an agency yesterday where the selling principal is going to transition back into a sales position and kind of deviate from his current role and get into selling annuities. That's what he wants to do. He's really excited about it. So you know, there's opportunities there to kind of change it up, to pursue what your passion is and create revenue for the agency.
Sure. Absolutely. And I would assume the options on the table for agency owners that are looking to exit period via merger and acquisition would be greater the less involvement that they have in day-to-day operations as far as like the buyer's concerned, right? So, you know, if agency owners are listening right now and they're, you know, maybe 60 or 65 years old and, you know, they don't have anybody that wants to take it over, there's no, you know, succession plan in place, and they're looking at the merger and acquisition option, how possible is it for them to just straight up cold exit the day that the transaction closes? Are there those buyers out there that want those deals?
Absolutely. Because those buyers are looking to kind of eliminate expense and you know, create a new culture and kind of move on. And that's definitely, you'll find those buyers pretty eager to go with that direction too. It depends a little bit on geographics. It depends on what the goals of the buyers are. It depends on what the kind of transition plan is. If you've got a seller who's has very deep relationships with their book, you know, that may be the only thing that would give a buyer pause of having the current principal move on. You know, they don't want to lose that book, obviously, but you know, if it's a principal that just hasn't been terribly hands-on. I was talking to some guys in North Carolina the other week. You know, their service people have the relationship with the clients. They've met with them once, twice, maybe over a 5-year relationship. And that's a kind of a cool way to prep for your exit is to have those relationships in place and not directly with you. I had some deep relationships with my customers, and that was you know, frankly, for me, for sellers, talking to sellers right now, that was kind of an emotional experience to kind of say goodbye to people and thank them for supporting you for all those years. And,
yeah. You know, how many years did you say you owned the agency?
I was involved with the agency for 25 years. I was on the company side for 3. And interestingly enough, the company experience was kind of in the middle of the time that I was at the agencies.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and like you said, you know, COVID certainly has changed things. Our deal was going through right as COVID was hitting. And so, you know, there was probably a week or 2-week period of time where it was like, is this even going to happen? And, you know, we didn't know. Cause I mean, at that point in time, like we didn't know what the markets were going to do. We didn't know whether things were going to fall out like they did in 08. You know, we had no idea what was going to happen. And luckily, you know, for us, it turned out good, but you know,
I think that's a typical experience. You know, I was involved with, you know, my buyer looking, I was still at the agency, and they were, you know, really eager to buy some agencies, and the brakes just, you know, the bottom kind of fell out, the brakes went on, and people just weren't sure what it was going to look like. And I think, you know, 21, late 21, at least, has been a catch-up time when, you know, there was a ton of deals done, you know, just some pent up energy.
And I think 2021 was a record-breaking acquisition year again, was it not?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And so 2022, what are you looking at right now? How is 2022 starting off?
Well, there's a ton of, there's still a ton of money out there, you know, especially on the private equity side. I'm seeing these larger aggregators, you know, I'll pick on Acrisure, for example, really coming down in the marketplace in regards to the size of agency they're looking at. I'm seeing little mini aggregators buying up small agencies, consolidating them within months, and then selling them to the larger aggregators. So there's a lot going on. There's still a lot of money out there. I don't think that the interest rate issue is going to affect it for a little while. It's going to be fairly impervious to that, just because of this pent up energy. And really, there's no better money. There's no better place for this money to go right now. You know, the private equity guys are still going to look at an insurance agency as a good investment.
Yeah, no, I agree. So let's transition here for a minute and let's talk to somebody that's trying to grow their agency through mergers and acquisitions, because you advise for buyers as well. What are the strategies that you guys, because I mean, you have to, I interviewed somebody yesterday, and when I asked him about like, what's, you know, because he mainly works with sellers. But, you know, and I said, you know, what's your advice to people that are looking to buy? And, you know, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here. His response was good luck. Yeah. And, you know, like to try and, you know, build out relationships, maybe the friendly competitor down the street whose kid plays baseball with your kid, or, you know, something along those lines to where to look for the deals. And then the difficult thing is because I know for me, and I'm assuming for you too, you know, one of the key components of who's going to buy my agency, you know, we want to try and filter out, you know, for culture, to see who's got the same culture, who's going to take care of the clients, who's going to take care of the employees. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into play, but the money part is huge because, you know, none of us are sure when we sell our agency, like we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know what's going to happen, you know, next week, next year, 10 years from now. And so, you know, trying to maximize the return that we get when we go to sell is, you know, as big, maybe even a little bit bigger of a piece of the puzzle when we're looking at the final picture. And these national buyers, they've got multiples out there that are so hard for people to compete with. What do you do, John?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'll use my situation as proof. I really wanted to, there were a couple of competitors that I, friendly competitors that I was really eager to sell to. And, you know, I went to a broker and I got a valuation, you know, a really good guy that was a CPA, you know, just definitely had worked with some other friends of mine. And, you know, I trusted the guy a lot. He set a value much higher than I had anticipated. Again, this is 2019. Things are climbing pretty rapidly. And, you know, I gave him a list of folks that I wanted him to reach out to. I had a very, very specific list. I'd done some research. I'd done a lot of thinking about it. Again, I was young. I was thinking I was going to stay on the agency side for a while. It ended up, you know, make a long story short, the price was too high for my competitors. You know, yeah. these great agencies, you know, largest agencies in the state that I was in, and you know, they still couldn't stomach it. So we ended up going with a private equity. I backed aggregator, national in scope. And I picked one that I felt most comfortable with, that I knew the most about. So, you know, in the end, you end up taking the money, right? Hopefully you don't throw away all of your prerequisites and all of the right things that you've been thinking about. So, you know, that's kind of my story. There's a lot of guys out there, folks, you know, guys and women that are just really need to get the highest price. And I respect that too. You know, it's, you worked real hard, you put it all together for all those years, and you know, it's time to cash in. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Everybody's, you know, one of my early bosses in the insurance industry, she said to me, you know, people say it's not all about the money, but at the end of the day, it's pretty much all about the money. What kind of multiples are you guys seeing, you know, on age, because I mean, this is off the EBITDA. So what kind of multiples are folks getting on an average end, and then maybe on a high end? And then, not to throw too much into the mix here, but when you got your valuation done, was that pretty close to what your agency ended up selling for, or what was the price higher?
All right, first question first. You know, we are working with smaller agencies right now.
Define smaller agency. How big is a smaller agency?
So anywhere between 150,000 in commission income and 1.5 million. So
okay.
And what we're seeing is the food chain is just really getting eaten down at this point.
Yeah.
You know? And
your $3-4 million agencies, they've all been acquired.
Right. Or they're acquired. You know, it's different modes for sure. But so in the smaller agencies, we typically abandon the EBITDA model and go with a straight factor of revenue. And we're seeing 2.5 to 3 times
okay.
what what's interesting to me is we're seeing, whereas a non-standard agency used to be on the lower end of that scale, like 1 to 1.5, a non-standard auto agency is getting 2.5. In some cases, if it's just a super easy acquisition where, you know, the acquirer is going to get rid of the staff and just absorb the book, it can be higher than that. On the EBITDA side, you know, I'm still seeing anywhere between 9 and 12 times EBITDA. I've heard of some 15s, but I think those deals are one-offs. You know, there's special situations. So, sure. And to answer your second question, my agency sold for right about where the valuation was, but you know, there was special factors in the deal. Once we got down to the nitty gritty, the aggregator, you know, put in the special clauses. So, you gotta watch those guys. You gotta have a good team. You gotta have a good CPA. You gotta have a broker that's involved, you know, not just one of these brokers that throws it up on a website and lets it go and doesn't help you with your due diligence and things like that. And having a lawyer who's done insurance deals before. You know, I made a little bit of a mistake. I hired a guy who had just moved to our area. He'd been on Wall Street and involved in a lot of mergers and acquisitions, had a big pair of britches on, and ended up going to work for the World Bank right after he did my deal. His scope was too big, and this was a mid-sized deal, and you know, it definitely frustrated me. It frustrated the buyer that I was dealing with. So pick people that know your scale, that know the industry, that have done deals before. So.
Yeah, well, and I know how we found our acquisition attorney, and I actually tried to interview him for this series, but he's retiring. So, you know, how we found him is we went through, there was a presentation that our premium finance company had sent over to us at some point in time about acquisitions, and it was done by this acquisition attorney. So, you know, that would probably be maybe a good way, you know, talk to your connections in the insurance industry and find out who's out there, just, you know, networking perspective. This guy had been doing mergers and acquisitions. He started off with Safeco Insurance in like the 70s. And so, you know, fast forward to, you know, 2020, 50 years later, you know, this guy's seen everything. And, and so, yeah, we felt pretty fortunate in that respect. But yeah, again, you know, looking back on the deal, hindsight's 2020, I wish, you know, there's a few things that we wish we would have done differently, of course, but yeah, all in all, it achieved our end objective of what we were trying to do. How has life been for you since the sale of your agency?
It's been fantastic. I had a goal, you know, I had a change. Our kids were out of the house and college is paid for, you know. My wife and I were ready for a little bit of a career change. She worked in a school. She's a teacher, and you know, COVID just crushed her. So it was a time to make a transition. So we moved to a different part of the country. Moved closer to one of our sets of parents. You know, to keep an eye on them, and closer to one of our kids at college, and real different climate. And, you know, I had advised AgileCap as an agent. You know, they needed some kind of input from the agency side of things. And I had a relationship with them, so they took me on, and it's been a great transition.
Yeah, so let's talk about two buyers that are out there looking for an advisor that maybe they're going to call John. What are the advantages of doing business with you folks as compared to your competitors? And, you know, walk us through, you know, hi, my name's Abe and I want to sell my agency, to congratulations, go enjoy the sunshine. You know, walk me through that process and how you guys are different.
Well, you know, there's an obvious part to it that you know, we are primarily or have been historically primarily a lending company. And we've lent to people for mergers and acquisitions and working capital the various other things. We lend to mostly property and casualty agents. We lend to mostly independent, but we do some captive lending. And, you know, we basically have brought this aspect of the business, the advising aspect of the business, into play in the last year, because we felt that a lot of the, and I personally feel through my experience, that a lot of the brokers out there and advisors, it's such an easy market to throw a listing up and just sit back and let everything happen, that we felt that, you know, more advice, more involvement, more one-on-one attention is important. And that's what we bring to the picture. Now, I want to be very clear: if you do lending with us, you don't have to use us as an advisor or a broker, and vice versa. If you're using us as a broker, it's not expected that you would use us as a lender. And we have other lenders that we work with and refer people to if there's a better deal out there for them, for sure. So that's the small picture. We like to guide people through this process and not just kind of have it be a real estate type transaction, because we realize, particularly if you've grown a business, it's an emotional experience as well, be working with someone who's been through it, versus just somebody who's never worked in an agency or owned one or sold one. We think that's important as well.
Absolutely. So let's walk through the timeline. You know, I approach you March 1st and say, John, I want to sell my business. And what happens? What do we do next?
Well, because we have this perspective of working for buyers and financing buyers, we ask you for your financials. We have a template, and you kind of throw up all over us with all your information, and we analyze it, and we do evaluation, and we kind of would advise you if you have a little bit longer term perspective on this, some changes that you might want to make to increase the value of the business. If not, if you're ready to go, if you've done plenty of thinking about it, if you've done your homework and you've done the hard work of putting your agency in great selling shape, we put it out there. And what we do, and this is fairly unique, is we think that a lot of agencies have some desire to keep things confidential. You know, you don't want it splashed all over the community that you're selling your business, that you're in. And we kind of more laser focus on buyers that are a good cultural fit, that are strong financially, that are going to pay you, particularly if you're taking some money over time. We do that analysis on both sides of the equation. You know, we have some good pro forma templates that we work with, and we want deals that are going to succeed, both from financial perspective and a cultural perspective.
Sure, absolutely. So you walk through, you get the financial information from the agency owner, you put together the financials. At that point in time, I would presume that you would approach the buyers that you think would be most interested to help keep this confidential instead of throwing it on a website, like you said. And then at that point in time, you're setting up meetings with potential buyers, doing some interviews and things like that. So, and I know this is like a hard question because it depends, right? But on average, from the day that, so let's say March 1st, somebody calls you and sets a meeting in place, what day can they expect, generally speaking, to be sitting down and entertaining offers and talking to buyers?
It's a tough question. It depends on how organized the seller is and how motivated they are to get us the information. A lot of times we kind of sit on our hands and wait for people to put their packages together for us. I think the quickest you want it to happen would be 90 days, but I think you want to take, and that's if you give me a list of likely buyers and or people that you've started conversations with or people that are thinking, if I have to dig down deep into the databases and really search out people and approach them and kind of do this in a with a strong NDA and confidentiality, it takes a little bit longer, but 90 days would be really quick, but we're seeing that happen. We're having to put deals together, financing deals for people in less than 30 days. It's happening. I would prefer more like 6 months because, we get to know each other. We get to really take a deep dive into the potential buyers. A lot of it depends on if the principal wants to stick around. You know, if they want to stick around and work in a culture they're going to be comfortable in and have a position that they think they can execute on, you know, a job description that they're going to be happy with, it takes a little bit longer. But if you're still going to cash out, 90 days is pretty reasonable.
Pretty reasonable to be done or to be talking?
Okay. Yeah,
to be talking.
And it depends if the buyer has cash in their pocket or if they're going to finance, because that will add at least 30 to 45 days onto the whole process for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you could give one line of advice to folks looking at the potential of selling their agency, what would that advice be?
Well, first of all, congratulations. It's a great time to do it. Your timing is perfect. Go into it with the right expectations, what your agency's worth, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, because you're going to get some options thrown at you that you didn't really anticipate. So, be ready to make some decisions on your future and what you really want. Absolutely. If you're really motivated to cash out and they offer you a really sweet deal to stay, are you willing to do that? And it's scenarios like that. Be ready to answer those questions because there's no template. This is all free form.
Absolutely, it's all negotiation.
Right.
One line of advice for folks looking to buy.
It's like the real estate market right now. Have your money ready, because these opportunities are so fleeting at this moment. In time, that you got to be ready. You can't mess around. There's people with money right in back of you in line going, waving the cash. So be ready. Have your financial house in order, have your financing in order if that's what it's going to take.
Sure.
And that's one thing we do at AgileCap is we'll sit down with you and kind of give you a picture of what we think you're eligible for, what's going to go smoothly, what's going to be a stretch, what you should do to get to the point where you want to be, those types of things.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm excited to talk to your associate.
Peter Freeman.
That's coming up too. We're going to be diving deep into the world of agency financing. And so I'm really excited to have that conversation. That's going to be fantastic.
Peter's great. It's going to be a super talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, John, thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy. Look forward to having you back at some point in time. How can people get a hold of you if they want to look at the valuation of their agency or start the conversation?
Sure. The best way to is just go right to our website, agilecap.com, and there's just a ton of information about who we are, what we do, and how to get a hold of us.
John, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. Great to get to know you. Take care.